Welcome back, everyone. Racecast. Now, I know we said we were going to upload on the first of every month, and we missed December. I was ill. You were ill. We were both ill.
I had COVID.
You had COVID. And then I was literally ill straight after. I've been ill more or less the whole month of November. So if you hear some sniffling or some coughing.
Or just Luke telling you that he was ill.
Yeah, it's just I'm guilty. I can't help it. But better now. And we're back. We're going to just sort of look over the 2022 season, give you our thoughts. We've got a few interesting things that we want to discuss because there has been some news over this quiet period. So stick around, get involved, follow us on social media if you don't already, because we are gearing up proper for the 23 season. And yeah, we want you guys to be involved. So follow us at Racecast Insta, at Racecast Tweets, and at Racecast Clips for TikTok.
Well done.
That's pretty good. If you're listening on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. Only if you like us. If you don't, then don't worry. Just carry on with your day. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other platform that you can listen to us on, please give us 5 stars. It really does help us out and it means a lot to us. And we will return the favour by producing content. I'm not really sure that's a fair exchange. It's like a business transaction.
Are you okay?
But yeah, anyway, I'm not going to bore you anymore. We are going to crack on. I don't think it's going to be the longest episode in the world. So if you haven't got a lot of time, don't go anywhere because we're not going to waste your time.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. Firstly, I hope you had a good Christmas. It is, the 27th of December now. And by the time this episode goes out, it'll be the 1st of January. So also, Happy New Year.
And I know you're hungover.
Yeah.
So
what a perfect way to get over a hangover and get you out of bed, then going over to the radio and turning it off, listening to Luke and I.
The radio? No one listens to the radio anymore.
The cassette player.
That's the thing with Matt. That he just he showed his age there. He still listens to the radio.
Well, most people listen to the radio.
FM as well, isn't it?
No, it's DAB.
Doesn't even know the meaning.
But welcome along. We are back. Hope you guys are all good. And as I said, had a great Christmas. Luke, I know earlier on you touched on that you were ill. Mm. You were bedbound for a week, weren't you? You were lucky still to be alive.
It did feel that way. I got this thing. Everyone seems to have this like thing, which is COVID, but not COVID.
Yeah, I actually had COVID.
Yeah, you did. So
first time ever.
I did a test for whatever reason. It doesn't make a fucking difference whether I have it or not.
No.
I was ill, basically. But yeah, I was just bedbound. That was it. My lungs are still in terrible condition.
Yeah, it didn't sound great when I came in earlier.
But I felt absolutely fine. You know, I enjoyed Christmas like any normal person would. I was actually quite glad that I got ill when I got ill.
Yeah.
Because the first day I felt better was the Friday. So Friday the 23rd. And then come Christmas Eve, I was like a new man, 100%. So it came at the perfect time, but in a weird way.
Still had a good Christmas. Right, shall we get on to... haven't done this in a while. Shall we get on to some news? Obviously, some of the news we're going to discuss now has been out for a couple of weeks, but I want to get Luke's opinion. And also, I want to hear what your thoughts are as well. So the first bit I want to talk about is Williams. Jost Capito. I can never say if I say his name right, Capito. Yeah. Obviously, stepping down as Williams CEO and team principal. He's been there 2 years. For me, I'm quite sad about it. I like him. I think he's a good character to have in the grid, or in the paddock, sorry. But yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
It hasn't really worked out, has it? I think they got him in. And I mean, I guess you see more of this from Drive to Survive. We see, like, really, he came in and they had this huge vision that they were going to turn things around. Yeah. And I don't think necessarily Williams have got any worse. I just don't think they've taken any steps forward.
No.
I know there could be the argument, well, they have got worse, but they haven't. I just think Haas have got better.
And I think last year, it wasn't a true reflection. Haas was so awful, so it made them look better.
Yeah.
So this year, you're coming into it, like you say, Haas have got better.
And they also, you know, they had... And fair play to Alex Albon, he's done brilliant. But like they had George Russell last year as well.
Getting him into like Q3s and that, yeah.
We had a few more freaky scenarios last year, I think. When I say last year, I do mean the 2021 season, not 22. You know, where this season, everything was pretty much as expected throughout the season.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have, like, a freak winner.
No, yeah.
Whereas, you know, last year we had Danny Rick.
Ocon.
Getting a win. Ocon getting a win. Those sort of, like, crazy moments that...
Lando Norris almost getting a win.
Yeah, that absolutely changed a whole race. And I think we lacked them this season, so that also hurts teams like Williams that are down at the back. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think he seemed like a good guy.
Mm.
But I'm not sure who made the decision. I mean, I haven't read enough into it, whether, you know, was he pushed out the door or...
See, reports are leaning towards the fact that it's kind of his choice to go. Like, it just wasn't working for both parties.
Now, as a Williams fan, I'm sure someone is listening. I think we all are.
We all are, yeah.
Kind of. That would worry me. Because to me, that's telling me, okay, well, he's seen what is happening in next season. And he's not on board with it. Now that, you know, that would be worrying to me as a fan, because it's telling me that they probably haven't got it right again.
So he's expecting another season of
He's probably thinking like, look, there's nothing I can do here. It's gone wrong. I don't want to be the face of it.
Yeah. It's sad. I don't know who they're going to bring in. They haven't announced anyone as far as I know of.
As far as I'm aware, I've not heard it. You can guarantee it's going to be announced tomorrow.
You can guarantee it's already been announced, but we haven't seen it.
We do tend to jinx stuff like that. Like, well, A, we'll either talk about it and it would have already been announced, we haven't realised. Or B, we'll talk about it on the podcast. We'll record on a Monday or something. Obviously, we normally release on a Wednesday. Come like Tuesday evening, the news breaks and we're like, well, now everything we said is just redundant. And we would have said, like, the exact opposite to what the news actually is as well.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I think this is going to happen. Then just the opposite happens.
guys, let us know what your thoughts are on that. Other news, a big one since we've been away. Benito? Not Benito. Benotto.
Who's Benito?
Benotto. God, you can tell we've just had Christmas and we haven't filmed in ages. Benotto has left Ferrari. For me,
and he
not really a surprise.
He did leave, didn't he? As far as I'm aware, he wasn't sacked.
No, I think it was his choice to go. I'm wondering if he went before he was actually pushed. But
yeah,
Ferrari showed last year, well, this year, that they have made fundamental errors which have cost them titles this year. I mean, because they were competitive at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And for awful decisions... not just, you know, team principal, but drivers as well, they kind of screwed themselves over.
I think everyone was expecting this to happen. Sorry, you might have seen the light just change. I just had to draw the blinds because I was worried it was like putting a glare onto the camera. Everyone, I think, was expecting it to happen. And then it got to a point where I think we were almost... thinking, no way they're going to bottle this as well. Mm. Like, as in not get rid of Benotto. And it's not like... it's not something every fan wants to see, someone, you know, being pushed out their role or losing their job. But at the end of the day, it's a business. You've got to be cutthroat. What I am surprised about is that he hasn't maintained a role at Ferrari. Yeah. Because I think, look, clearly he's got something. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, he was heading...
He's been there 20 years.
He has been there a long time.
Yeah.
He's been heading this sort of revived Ferrari project.
Yeah.
And okay, a lot of things went wrong. But fundamentally, they were spot on.
They've come a long way.
They got the car right. They made the steps forward. So I am surprised that he didn't stay in some capacity. But then you were more surprised with who they replaced him with.
Yeah, I mean, so if you don't know, and if you don't know, then I'll tell you now. Ferrari have appointed Fred Vasseur.
No, I think you got it right.
Yeah. As team principal. So if you don't know, he was Alfa Romeo's team principal last year. He was also their CEO as well. I liked your point when you responded to me, because I was about like, that's such a bizarre appointment. But you came back and you were like, well, who else did they go for in this time?
Well, because that's the thing. I mean, there were, I'm pretty sure these are confirmed reports. They went for Christian Horner.
Yeah, there was talks and he was a bit like,
and he said, nah, not interested. And Matt said, well, so then I was sort of like, well, who else could they go for? And you said Toto.
I was joking.
I was like, he literally owns Mercedes.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I was joking with Toto. I wouldn't want him to go to Ferrari. No, I was. I wouldn't want him to go to Ferrari.
No, not that you want him to.
No, but I don't think, I don't actually even think he would go.
I just think, well, who else is there? I don't, even, I'm not saying this is necessarily the best acquisition anyway, but quite literally, who else is there? You're not going to go Gunther. I mean, realistically, but because I think, and we'll get onto all this as well, one of the worst man managers out there.
Oh, good.
But I think you see that, I mean, when you see this, some of the scenes from like Drive to Survive, but also some things that are said to the press.
Yeah.
I think it's terrible. It doesn't wash at a team like Ferrari.
No.
Jos Capito, you know, no offense, he's not done anything.
Zach Brown,
but he's heavily invested in the McLaren project.
And I don't think he fits the Ferrari.
No, I don't think he does. So
I think the more I thought about it, it makes more sense. But at the time, I was a bit like, this is so random.
Yeah. That is some promotion.
Yeah. You're not going to like an Alpine, are you? You're not going to go, oh, I'm seeing progression in my career. You're going from Alfa Romeo to, bam, you're in Ferrari.
Yeah, this essentially, you've gone from one of the worst teams to... Well, one of the best for the title contending team.
But my question to you, okay, Bonotto this year, for all the mistakes he's made, he's brought that, you know, that car from like a P3 team, you know, over the years, whatever, to a top challenging car. Do you think Fred Vasseur can come into Ferrari and make him a title winning team next year? My gut feeling is no, I don't think he can. I don't know what you think.
Well, as far as my memory serves me, now I know this comes down to a lot more than simply the team principle, but I don't actively recall Alfa Romeo making horrendous mistakes.
No.
And I know maybe because they're not under the magnifying glass, but, and you know, other than the fact they had some reliability issues, but... I think they must have seen something in him. Now, I really don't know enough about him to comment on. But I think also that could be a good thing. Well, I haven't heard anything bad about him.
Well, just let me tell you a couple of facts.
Yes.
So, he was... Vasseur joined Renault Sport as team principal of the newly formed Renault Sport Formula One team during the 2016 season. Mm-hmm. He resigned at the end of the 2016 season after a disagreement with the managing director, which was Cyril. Do you remember Cyril?
Who was Renault? He was another difficult individual.
Yep, on how the team should run. So he then went to Sauber F1 team in 2017. Okay,
but wait, just firstly, on that Renault point. So I like that. Mm. He's a man that clearly has a vision.
Yep.
And he knows what he wants. So I'm already thinking, okay, well, look, he's going to bring something to the party. He's not just going to be molded into what the establishment wants him to be. Yeah. He's coming with his own ideas and he knows how he wants them executed.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's a tick.
Yeah. But then he went obviously to Sauber in 2017, which then obviously they went go on to Alfa Romeo, which is again Sauber. And then, obviously he's then gone to Ferrari. So... He's only been at three teams, and it's only since 2016. So he's for a team principal's point of view, he's quite new in the sport.
Oh, massively.
When you look at it. I mean, when you look at people like Toto, they've been around for years. Horn has been around for years.
Toto was new to it when he came to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, at the same time, I really don't see who else Ferrari could have got.
No.
We know that, I mean, for example, Ross Brawn. He said that he stepped away from the FIA as well. And he said, like, I'm going to be watching it from my sofa next season.
Yeah.
So that was sort of, I don't think anyone really suspected Ross Brawn to be there. I think they're taking a risk, you know, if this guy is not necessarily he hasn't got years and years of experience, but we've seen he clearly knows what he wants and how he wants to achieve things. He's part of the Ferrari brand, obviously. It's natural progression.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you've just got to see how it works out.
And I think the interesting thing for him now, and I really want him to do well. I want to see Ferrari back up. I want to see them again, you know, what they did this year. And I want them to be consistent. Obviously, I still want Mercedes to win the championship. But I want to see Ferrari be consistent. I like Leclerc. I like Sainz. You know, they're two good, talented drivers. And I think he's going into that team with good foundations. Binotto has laid some great foundations for that team.
That's the thing. Ferrari fans have to be thankful for the work that Binotto has done over... Yeah. Well, it would be over the last 2 years because they would have started planning for this the year before. And, yeah, he has... Despite how this season went, and there were so many errors... He has got this team back to a point where they should be.
Yeah.
So I think it's the perfect time for him to step away because this season, it was a mess in terms of how the season played out. But they have got to the point where they've got everything just right. They just need to shake a few things.
Yeah. And I think although Charles Leclerc said... finishing, you know, splitting the Red Bulls doesn't give him much satisfaction. Finishing P2 in the constructors and in the driver's standings will give them that push. That, okay, we can challenge the Red Bulls.
What it should give them is belief going into next season.
Yeah,
I understand. You know, finishing P2, it doesn't mean a great deal. No one's gonna, you know, in 5 years' time, no one's gonna remember that Charles Leclerc finished second.
No.
In this season, all they're going to remember is that Max Verstappen won it, right? So that's the point. But it does just set them up perfectly for next season. They're going into it great. And there's only one way to find out if this was their time to do it.
Yeah.
We'll know pretty soon whether they fucked it or not.
And the thing is, for him going into Ferrari now, is he's got Charles Leclerc, who, in my opinion, is running out of time to get this championship, not from an age point of view, but I think Mercedes are going to come back now.
Yeah.
Over the years, you're going to see McLaren come there. Red Bull is still going to remain strong. Alpine are there as well. So from a Ferrari point of view, Charles Leclerc is kind of like, okay, I need to get this title. I need to win something.
The big thing from this season was that Ferrari did come to the table with the best car.
Yeah.
And they then obviously failed on the development side. Really, they did fall off towards the end. But also, Mercedes weren't in the picture.
No.
I think everyone is kind of expecting them to be in there next year. So, and that's what I mean. We're going to know pretty soon whether they've bottled it or not.
But also, like I was saying, for Leclerc, he knows that actually this year was his perfect opportunity to win something. They failed. So going into next year, you've got these teams. Don't get me wrong, I don't ever think that at the moment McLaren, Alpine are going to win a title. But what I mean, they're going to be more competitive.
Yeah, so they're going to get better and better.
Mercedes, I'm expecting to be in the mix next year for the standard, you know, for the driver's title, along with obviously Red Bull. So if you're Charles Leclerc point of view, you've got a new team principal coming in who you're kind of like, well, I need to win. So is that going to cause a divide between him and Sainz because he's now got that pressure on him to actually win? It's going to be interesting. And he's got to manage that now because it's not going to be an Alfa Romeo for Bottas, who's quite chilled, Joel, who's rookie.
When you're not fighting for a championship, it's difficult for there to be that intensity where, like, you know, where you build up these massive rivalries because every small movement has like consequences. It doesn't really when you are fighting at that lower level.
When you bring them in a lap earlier, trying to get the, you know, the undercut or the overcut, those type of decisions now he's got to make.
They mean everything.
Yeah. Those two extra points make a massive difference.
He's relishing the opportunity. Yeah. Though. I mean, fair play to him.
And I hope he does well. I generally do hope he does well. Mm-hmm. But I think his first season could be a tricky one, you know, because he's got tough characters now. As I said, they're not Bottas, they're not Joel. These are two drivers who want to win. they have such desire. When things don't go their way, you start to see their frustration. Mm-hmm. So, and he's now got to pick up a team that have made monumental errors last year or this year.
Yeah, and their he's got
to pick that whole team up. So he's got a lot of work. But fair play to Bonotto. He has laid some good foundations for him. But we shall see. Let us know what your thoughts are. Right, shall we talk some other news? So this is interesting. So Daniel Ricciardo.
I thought you were going to mention Andreas Seidel first. On the topic of team principles and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, no, I am. Yeah, Andreas Seidel have become Sauber's new CEO.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Obviously, he was at McLaren for a long period of time.
Yeah, because what
he was obviously McLaren team principal. So leaving there to go to Alfa Romeo.
What I don't understand is that not a backward step a little bit?
Well, no, I think he's going up, isn't he? Because he's now the CEO of Sauber.
Yeah, so I know what you mean, yeah.
So for him, he's been at McLaren for a while. It's a good progression for him.
But it's to a team that chances are never going to compete on the level of McLaren.
Yeah.
Unless he is looking at it from the long-term perspective of, okay, well, I go here, it's a foot in the door to Ferrari, as we've seen.
Yeah. He's thinking a long-term goal.
Yeah. That to me would... And I guess being part of... You know, if you're part of the Sauber brand, you're part of the Ferrari brand, it is racing heritage. And I don't know, I found it a little strange.
It's a weird move.
But I think it's a good move for Sauber.
Yeah.
Well, Alfa Romeo or whatever.
Ultimately, it's a better move for Andrea Stella. Obviously, he's been in the ranks of McLaren. He's now become team principal at McLaren. Because he was, McLaren have promoted from within by handing executive director Racing Andrea Stella the role of team principal for 2023.
I do like that when people get promoted from within, because it essentially brings a new face to that level of sport. Because really,
quite a scary face, isn't it?
He is quite.
You won't want to mess with him.
No, it looks like he could really shout. But you know, because essentially there are only a handful of people that you really know in the sport and within the teams. Obviously, it's the drivers, typically, CEOs, team principals.
And I think Zak Brown trusts him. To promote from within is a real indication to go, okay, we've got a good, solid foundations here where we can bring people up.
That's the thing. It also shows me that McLaren have this, they've got this sort of vision and ethos that they're building throughout the whole brand, that they're confident enough to be like, no, you know, let's bring our people up ranks because we believe in the system.
I like it. I'm interested to see how both of them do.
It's good. I mean, I think it makes it interesting next season. You know, we've had these swap arounds, but also I mean, I'm sure there's very strict. There is very strict rules, obviously, on sharing information. But Andreas Seidel would have known a lot about this year's 23 McLaren car.
Yeah.
Vasseur would have known a lot about
Alfa Romeo,
the Sauber. You know, you've got all these things where is there going to be any of that going on? Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, something down at McLaren we were doing was, I know we can get them in a lot of trouble, but what if McLaren had something right up their sleeve that was like revolutionary? It was like, oh, you know, next season this is going to, we're just going to blow everyone away.
We're a championship winning team now.
Yeah, because we found this little loophole in the regs and we've got like a ridiculous car. What if he's gone to Sauber and he's like, oh, boys, you know what we should do? Guys over there were doing this. I got it here. And then they...
So Alfa Romeo, Ferrari, McLaren, all going to look the same next year.
Exactly the same car.
It'd be like the green Red Bull, won't it?
Yeah.
But everyone's going to be the same.
But like, surely that would worry me as...
Yeah. I think
I'm surprised there's no like non-competes. And I know there is really strict rules on like...
I'm sure there are.
Like, obviously, I know you can get absolutely fucked. But what if he's just like, nah, I came in, they're already doing it. Yeah. I'm like, And they can really be like, no, they weren't.
When did you start doing that? 12th of December 2022. Yeah.
The day before you came. Honoring him.
No, it's going to be interesting. I am excited for next year because not only have we got some exciting drivers on the grid coming into 2023, mm-hmm. we've got new team principals. Well, I say new team principals. Well, I suppose we have in McLaren, but we got change around in team principals as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting next year. I'm looking forward to it. Other news, Danny Ric. So the poor guy, he lost his seat at McLaren. He goes to Red Bull as a third driver. But only, Red Bull will pay him £1.7 million for the year. But that's not all. Ricciardo will also pocket £18 million from McLaren as a stipulation for terminating the third year of his contract. I mean,
It's not bad, is it?
You're basically taking £20 million next year for sitting around and getting a car every now and then. And they'll go to... I can't imagine, right, as a third-team driver for Red Bull, they turn around and go to you, right, Danny, we really want your input here. They're like, well, you got Max, who would just tell you exactly how he wants to go.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, when I understand test drivers and whatnot, but are they not more just to test what the other drivers want?
Yeah.
You know, oh, Max said he wanted this, so we've done this. Is that responding how it should be? Because, yeah, the car is going to be built around... I guess it's for maybe ironing out little things.
Yeah, they're the ones who are going to be doing a majority of the testing, aren't they? Testing the car, seeing how it goes.
I think for Red Bull, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a heavily experienced driver who is capable of racing on that grid. Like, he should have a seat somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
I just don't think at a top team. They probably went, God knows what Danny Ric was on when he was at Red Bull, but I'm sure he is probably on like 15, 20 mil.
Yeah, easily.
But in that sort of bracket, they don't have to pay him those wages anymore. They're going back and they're paying him 1.7 mil. I know that sounds like a lot of money to us, but in terms of race driver wages,
that's
a tiny little wage.
Yeah.
So they're absolutely laughing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Is he going to be quicker than Perez? Are we going to see, you know, Danny Ric, I don't know, say they give him an FP1 session.
I cannot see Danny Ric being faster than Perez. I can't see it.
But what, I mean, I love seeing all the memes about like Sergio Perez when he sees Danny Ric is 2/10 faster than him in the sim and stuff.
It still doesn't make any sense to me, don't get me wrong, from a Red Bull point of view, it makes perfect sense. You've got a driver who knows F1, you're bringing him in as your third driver, but I still can't compute how
people think he's going to be faster than Perez.
Or how he's going to be faster than Perez, but also how they think that he's going to be in a Red Bull seat in 2024. If that is the case, then
if that's the case, then Danny Ric has a good agent.
A bloody good agent. But then also, none of this makes sense in my life, because why would you go for someone who was shocking in McLaren, who couldn't even beat Lando Norris, who's been in a sport far less than Danny Ric, but then you're like, oh, actually, we're going to bring him to the top team. The only way I can actually think it makes a bit more sense is because they're bringing in drivers who will never compete with Max Verstappen.
Yeah, but I think now, you know, Red Bull have just won the Constructors. They're going to get a taste for that. And you need a good number two. You know, okay, you don't want a number two that is getting in the way of your number one. We've seen this sort of thing happen before. But is Danny Ric, if Danny Ric gets that second seat eventually, is he going to be the man that enables them to consistently get this Constructors title? Is he going to get enough points in that second car?
Do you think Danny Ric will go head-to-head with someone like Charles Leclerc or George Russell or Lewis Hamilton?
No. But he has once upon a time gone head-to-head with the best, and he's proven that, certainly in the past, that he's a very capable driver. Yeah, and that's the thing.
In the past.
I do question whether he is capable of replicating his sort of old ways.
I saw people go on about when he was at Renault. Oh, you know, he took Renault. He was amazing for Renault. He was best. He was going up against Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
Great. It's not like, you know, there's you can't really compare that. You know, that's like...
He should be beating Hülkenberg.
And he should have been beating Lando Norris.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, Lando is obviously an extremely talented driver.
Agreed.
He should have...
Compete. You know,
I don't think he should have been beating him every race, but he should have been able to beat him. It should have been closer than... I mean, Lando obviously was just so much quicker than him.
He should not have
been... I don't
even
want to know what their head-to-head was.
He should not... Right, so Lando Norris was 122 points for this season, okay? Danny Ric, 37.
Yeah. But what I'd love to know is how many races did Lando finish ahead? How many times did he out-qualify Danny Ric? How many times did he finish ahead? And I'm sure it was probably... I reckon it was in the 90%. And we don't want to include DNFs. It's not fair. I do think that, you know, what do Red Bull do if Danny Ric is quicker than Perez in the sim?
Okay.
Because I do like to think about this.
I've got it.
The head-to-head.
Head-to-head. So Norris was 116 points.
That's different to what you just said, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, race results. When was this done?
Only the best here.
Only the best. This is what you get. So it says here, race results, Norris won 14 compared to Ricciardo 4. But I'm sorry, they're not including DNFs in this.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Qualifying, Norris 20, Danny Ric 2. That would make sense.
Yeah.
And fastest lap was Norris 18 and Danny Ric 3.
Yeah, so, you know, it's largely unimpressive.
Yeah.
But, again, if he is quick in that Red Bull, what do Red Bull do?
Well, yeah, no, I agree with you.
Say Red Bull are in a title fight with Mercedes.
Yeah.
Now let's say the Constructors is slipping away from them. But they can still get it. Come summer, you know, in this scenario, Sergio Perez is underperforming.
Yeah.
But let's say Danny Ric is lightning in that sim. And, you know, he's had a few FP1 sessions. He's been quick. Do they swap him out?
Known Red Bull and the history of switching drivers midway through a season, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But I also think Sergio Perez has justified his seat as a teammate and he should have got the respect to be given the full season.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I would not be surprised if they actually did it.
What I would be surprised with is if Danny Ric is actually quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the more surprising thing. But fair play. I mean, you know, he's got a foot in the door.
Yeah.
At F1 still. So.
Do you want to make a bet for a tattoo next year?
Where is your tattoo, by the way?
We've got to get it in the off-season. Remember, you're paying for it, so...
Okay. Bleeding me dry.
Do you want to make a bet that I don't think Danny Ric will beat Perez in an F1 in a pace for next year? I don't think he'll beat him in time.
I think it's going to be hard to tell.
Yeah, but we'll get an idea, won't we? For example, if yeah, I suppose it will be quite difficult because if they're doing different compounds, if you okay, ignore that.
But I think it will be interesting.
Let us know, what bet can we do for next year? Because we won't have a Latifi on the grid, will we?
No. Got Hulk in that seat.
Will Logan Sargeant get a point next year?
I'm interested to see how he's going to do.
Mm, me too. I think it's going to be tough for him. Very tough. Especially as now they don't have a team principal. Especially as he's coming in literally from an F2 seat where he had to fight just to get his... He had to go up to the last race to get his super license points.
Yep.
And he's coming into a... F1 is brutal. F2 is fine. Well, I say it's fine. F2 is it's brutal to a certain extent.
F2, but, you have to pay for everything.
Yeah. But you're now coming into F1 where if you don't perform, you will get shown out. You get found out.
Yeah,
very
you
quick.
Say that, but Latifi managed to hold a seat for like 3-4 years.
Yeah, true.
And
money.
Yeah, does Sargent bring any money?
I don't think he does, though. He must bring something, but...
Yeah, I'm sure he'll bring sponsorships.
Yeah.
One way or another.
I feel like we're digressing onto different things here. Shall we talk about... this is an interesting one. You can play at home here. The F1 team bosses chose their top 10 drivers of 2022. So...
I really thought you were going to talk about Mick Schumacher.
Okay, let's put this on hold. Mick Schumacher joins Mercedes as a third driver. And I have to admit... I'm buzzing.
I think it's
a logical move.
There's no risk involved in this move.
It's a logical move. You know, his dad has driven for Mercedes in the past.
Yep.
Toto knows the Schumacher name. He knows what Mick can do. Mick showed glimpses of class last year. Mm-hmm. When I say class, he showed glimpses of good overtakes, good race pace in his first proper season as a competitive driver. That first season in Haas, you have to write off. That is, you can't even talk about that.
That's unfair.
Yeah. So for me, I think he'll come in, he'll work alongside George, who again is still young. He'll come in with the experience of Lewis Hamilton, experience of team principal, you know, as Toto Wolff.
Look,
it's great.
Mick Schumacher is probably going to be the driver who has been able to learn from the greatest people ever, you know. Grew up learning from his dad, and he's now joined Mercedes where he's going to learn from Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. And Mazepin as well. Don't forget that one.
And he did have Mazepin.
Yeah, you learn that.
He taught him exactly what not to do. So he's had, like, he has got a wealth of knowledge because he's quite literally had the best teachers. I mean, you can't ask for any better than that, can you? I'll be honest, I personally don't ever see him getting a seat at Mercedes.
No.
In terms of being a one or two.
But I think it will link him back into the sport, another team. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good... I'm going to say, if Hülkenberg can get a seat after being a reserve driver at Aston Martin...
And, he's got hope.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have more credibility being...
And he's still young. He's still young.
He is very young.
For me, if he does not come out of this, I feel like this is his final chance and his best chance to prove himself by going to Mercedes.
Well, it's going to show the world, is he capable of doing it in a competitive car? Because, you know, okay, the W13 was a piece of shit, but it still was the third best car on the grid.
Yeah.
So the W14, we'd like to think is going to be...
We say it's a piece of shit, it still won a race.
Yeah. You know, we'd like to think this is going to be a better car, an even more competitive car. Yeah. So Mick is going to have the chance to...
Show what he can do.
You know, he crashed the slowest car on the grid quite a few times.
Can he crash the fastest car?
But
yeah.
You might argue it's harder to crash these better cars because they're better at staying on the road.
And they're better set up, yeah.
So I am excited to see what sort of numbers he does. I think it's a risk-free move. Mercedes get a young driver who does have potential.
Yeah.
Who is either, it's not going to work out and it's fine, he can just go elsewhere, or they've got a really good potential future driver.
Yeah. No, for me...
And that's why, you know, it's different to the Danny Ric thing. I think they get different elements from the Danny Ric signing, you know, signing like it's football. He's an experienced driver that is going to bring something to that team, but he's not... obviously a future prospect.
No.
So
whereas Mick, he potentially could be a future, but he needs to really prove himself here.
Yeah.
He's got a perfect opportunity on the big stage to show that actually what he can do. And if he comes out of this and he still fails, then I can't really see a way back in for him.
No.
But yeah, I'm excited to see. And as Mercedes fans, for me, it's like you say, it's a risk-free move. It's good for him, it's good for us. He's a likable character. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm actually happy. Are you happy if I do this next segment? Or is there something else you want to talk about?
I don't think there's any news.
Good.
Right. Any other? There's no other driver news,
as far as I know of. No. Well, I think we discussed all of this.
Keep it consistent. You know, we do all the team principles.
Yeah,
we do all the driver news.
Well, I want to play a game.
Yeah, now we're going to play a game.
Right, you can play at home. This is exciting. We haven't done one of these in a while. So the F1 team bosses chose their top 10 drivers of 2022. So what I wanted to do, Luke, is can you guess the top 10 in order?
So is this, say like, okay, so obviously I'm going to go Max first, but let's use this as an example as well. Is it like Max Verstappen, 16 votes or something? Do you know what I mean?
Well, they've got a score, but let's not worry about the score. I think if we can just get the top 10, because otherwise...
It's like an average score that has been given by all the team principals, and then whoever's got the highest average is number one, second.
Yeah, so basically drivers were given scores based on the current F1 points system. So 25 points for the top driver down to one for the 10th driver.
Okay.
So those scores were then combined to create a ranking. So that's basically what they did. After wrapping up, so they basically wrapped up all their points, and that's how they got their top drivers.
Well, Max Verstappen is number one.
Okay. Play at home and let us know how many you got out of this, okay?
I want to know how many points he's got, though. Can you then tell me that?
So I can tell you, 207 points.
Okay.
Okay. Second.
Curveball here. I'm actually going to say George Russell.
You're wrong.
Oh, damn it. Because what I was thinking, right, is, well, Leclerc did take his eye off the ball a few times. George Russell, you know, he was the only man in a Mercedes to win a race.
Yep.
He outscored Lewis Hamilton. We know there are reasons behind that and whatnot. But it was a heavily impressive first season.
Yeah.
So I didn't know whether that would have earned him. In that case, I'm going to say Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc is second with 144 points.
Now I'm going to say George Russell.
George is third, 127 points. P4. This one surprised me a bit.
Well, I was going to say Perez, but maybe I won't now.
You tell me.
Lando Norris.
No. Lewis Hamilton was in P4.
Wow.
With 100 points, yeah.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
Nor was I when I saw this. P5.
Yeah. I think, look, in terms of Lewis's season, I think it started really rough for him.
Yeah.
And it sort of went on an upward trajectory.
You're right.
So I think Lewis really helped Mercedes overcome their issues.
Yeah. But they said that throughout the season. The reason why he suffered is because he took a lot of the new new developments.
At the same time, what I don't want that to do is detract from the fact that George had a really good season.
Yeah.
So fifth. Well, fifth got to be Sergio Perez.
Sergio Perez with 91 points. P6.
Yeah, now this is where it gets complicated because I don't think Sainz had a very good season in the grand scheme of things. I think he could have done a lot better.
Yeah.
I think he's better than what he achieved this season.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for Lewis having a DNF, Sainz would have finished below Lewis.
Yeah.
And that is bad considering that Ferrari was at one point the best car on the grid.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think who had a great season. Maybe someone like Alex Albon.
What, so you're thinking Alex Albon is in P6?
Yeah. I think he had a really good season in that Williams.
I can tell you Alex Albon is not in the top 10.
That, to me, seems harsh.
Okay.
I'm just going to put it out there. Why doesn't he deserve it?
But no, I agree with you. But again, they're looking at... You've got to remember, the top 10 drivers are generally in the top 10. That's where they do their points.
But it's hard to just... judge a season based on points.
No, I agree.
I mean, where did they finish in the driver standings? Because I do think there's more to it than that. But in that case, it's going to be Sainz, isn't it?
No, Lando Norris.
Oh, so it is Lando there.
Which is, I can kind of see it, but
I think Lando had a
good
pretty,
season.
He had a pretty solid season. It was for me, or in my opinion, it was a fairly quiet season for him. But I think he did exactly what he needed to do.
But you've also got to remember, with Sainz, right? He won a race. He got some pole positions. He's come on a lot compared to what he's saying over the years.
The issue is he won the same amount of races as George Russell in that terrible Mercedes.
Yeah.
But Sainz, for the best part of the season, had a really, really good car behind him.
Yeah, no, yeah, okay. P7.
Yeah, it's going to throw me off if it's Sainz now. I'm trying to think. Ocon had a pretty decent season.
Okay.
I'm going to say Ocon.
Okay, it's actually Carlos Sainz.
I hate this game already.
P8. Now, this one kind of threw me off a bit. P8.
I don't... Well, now I'm thinking, is it someone like Fernando Alonso?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
He had, don't get me wrong, he had some good races when he was... But he had a lot of DNFs. He had a lot of
poor performances. Not his fault,
Not his fault, but, okay. But if you're saying this, right, and you haven't had DNFs and you're going... Yeah, but that's not his fault. So I'm going to put him like in top three or something. That still doesn't. You go by who actually finished races, don't you?
Well, I suppose. But let's say Fernando Alonso was first in every single race, but on the last lap of every single race, his car just blew up. Does that then make him the best driver of the season?
No,
but it's got to, surely.
No, it doesn't. So he didn't finish a race.
P1 in every quali. He's then first in every single race, but. Because there's an error with the car for some reason on the final lap of every single race, he DNFs.
What have you got to show for it? You got no points. You got no championship.
No, I mean,
you're not on a podium.
It's probably very damaging to his mental health.
Yeah.
But
can you imagine next year, Fernando Alonso finishes? He goes out.
He's
on
going
the last
for P1
lap.
Every single race.
In but the Aston Martin.
But that's what I mean. Like, how do you gauge it? Because, like I say about. Alex Albon.
Yeah.
Points wise, it was not great at all.
Yeah.
But I do believe that he had a very good season because circumstantially, you know, he's unable to compete for points every race.
Yeah. No.
But I think, especially then when you compare him to Latifi.
But this is what I don't understand. So Carlos Sainz had 68 points, Alonso had 67. I mean, that's still a bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Sainz is
better than
Alonso. So now we're on to
P9.
I don't think either of the Aston Martin boys are going to be on there.
Okay.
What? Surely Ocon?
No, Ocon is not in top 10.
Okay, so we've done both the Red Bulls, we've done both the Ferraris, both the Mercs. We've got.
I love watching Luke try and figure this
Lando
out.
Lando Norris in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess K-Mag's probably got to be up there.
No.
There's no one left. If Sebastian Vettel's there, that's not right.
What other teams having you thought about?
Well, AlphaTauri, but they had a terrible season.
Alfa Romeo.
Okay, Bottas. Obviously, Guan Yu Zhou is not going to be on there. No.
Bottas is P9.
What? Okay, I can sort of understand that.
Which, again, does make it... They scored points, 51 points in the first half of the season. They didn't score any points in full of the final.
That's the thing. It was like, he did have a great start to the season, great first half. But, you know, if I'm looking at who's the best or, the best drivers, I need to see some consistency. And that's a massive fall-off.
Yeah.
And granted, okay, it doesn't massively affect Alfa Romeo. They got... probably the points they needed. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Bottas was, you know, he was good first half of the season. And we did say, you know, he looks like he's driving without any pressure.
Yeah.
And it's really showing. But, yeah, that drop-off was huge.
And so, P10, who are you going for?
Well, P10, now I literally have no idea. It's not going to be Danny Ric.
No. Although I'd say he's probably the biggest winner of the year going to
job wise.
Yeah.
Okay, K-Mag's not on the list, which means Mick can't be on the list. We know Joe's not on the list. No way can either of the AlphaTauri boys be on the list.
Yeah.
No disrespect. So it's got to be one of the Aston Martins. So I'm going to say Seb.
It is Seb.
Which I don't think Seb had a particularly good season.
No. No, I agree. But again, you've got to remember, these votes are... No one knows these votes. They're all secret.
There's going to be a lot of allegiance there as well, isn't there?
Yeah. So, Can you imagine if you're Aston Martineau and you're voting, I'm going to put Seb 25 points.
Because I don't think Seb had a better season than K-Mag. I don't think Seb had a better season than Alex Albon. And obviously you have to look at this all circumstantially.
Yeah.
Alex Albon is never going to get the same amount of points or more points than Sebastian Vettel in an Aston Martin or Bottas in an Alfa Romeo. But I think he drove so well in a pretty terrible car.
Yeah.
He was hugely outperforming his teammate. Not the hardest thing in the world, but yeah, I don't know. I just think maybe he was more deserving.
Let us know, how many did you get? Comment down below if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening to us, then go over to our social medias and let us know. Do you want one more quick game?
We'll do one more.
But this one is the head-to-head. So I won't go through like qualifying and everything, but I'm going to go through races between teammates. Mm-hmm. You've got to guess, okay?
Okay.
So, Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez.
Max Verstappen?
Yep. How many race wins? Let's go just who finished ahead in races. So,
Max.
Yeah, but how many?
What was the difference?
What's the difference?
Probably something like 16.
17 to 4.
17 to 4.
Right, that's just your
Can you just give me a maximum? Because I know it's going
to
be
different. I'll give you a maximum, okay?
Because I know it's going to be different for each one. 17-4 to Max. Max had a great season. There's, you know, no one can take, forget about the cost cap scandal, forget about Abu Dhabi 2021. This season, Max Verstappen was on fire.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Ferrari, Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, 21.
Yeah, now, I actually think this is closer than most people think.
Yep. It's actually closer than what I thought.
21. So I'm going to say 13-8. To Leclerc.
12-9 to Leclerc. But also, what is interesting, I forget that Charles Leclerc only won 3 races last year.
Yeah.
This year. Interesting.
It's a travesty. People are going to look back on this season and think, how did Max run away with it like that?
Right, the next one, 22. Lewis Hamilton, George Russell.
Yeah, now this one actually is pretty close.
Mm.
Max, 22. So I'm going to say 13-11 to George.
Lewis Hamilton, 10. George Russell, 12.
13-11 doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
Because that's 24. So which means basically I meant to say 12-10 to George Russell. So I technically got that one right.
You did. Am I looking at this right? It's right, isn't it? 10 to 12.
Yeah, so George won 12 races, beat Lewis 12 times. And
yeah, I'm looking at this right, aren't I? Okay, so Alpine, 22.
I'm going to say, the thing is when they were racing...
Oh, no, sorry, I'm lying, 21.
21. When they were racing, Alonso was quicker.
Yeah.
But Alonso had so many DNFs.
Six
DNFs.
Yeah.
So I'm honestly going to say, 21 maximum. I'm going to say 11-10 Ocon.
9-12 Ocon.
Oh.
McLaren, we've already done McLaren earlier, but it was 16-5.
Yeah.
It was dominant. Alfa Romeo, so altogether it's 21.
Oh, I mean, this is going to be something like, I'm going to say 19-2.
I can tell you it is 14-7.
Okay, closer than...
To Bottas.
That was obviously Bottas. That was harsh on the show.
Aston Martin, so 19. This was a lot closer. And the pendulum swung a lot with these two.
I'm going to say... It was Lance, and I'm maximum 20.
No, 19.
Maximum 19. I'm going to say 10-9 to Lance Stroll.
Switch it around. 10-9 to Vettel. Haas. So 21.
15K mag, 6 mic.
12 mic, 9 K mag.
What?
K mag had 5 DNFs last year, this year.
5?
I apologise. I keep saying last year because I keep thinking last season. Year. AlphaTauri.
What were the points, sorry, just quickly, between those two?
So, points... Oh, it doesn't tell me.
K-Mag got more points, though.
25 to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's where my mind went.
Yeah, so AlphaTauri. So, that is 22.
Christ. Now, Pierre Gasly was not as dominant as the prior season. Maximum 22. I'm going to say 14.8 to Gasly.
15.7 to Gasly. Tsunoda had 6 DNFs.
Yeah, again, it's unlucky. Mm.
Williams. So, 19.
And 18.1.
15.4.
15.4?
Yeah. They both had 5 DNFs each, which is mad. I like this. I like these type of things.
I do just, you know... Fair play. I wasn't 15-4 is closer than I was anticipating. But I think, you know, we're in for an exciting season next season. I think we've got some really talented drivers coming in that is just gonna make it even tighter, you know. I mean from the top down, okay, Max is probably gonna be more dominant than Perez, that's fine. I think Leclerc is gonna have a revived desire. Signs, I think, is not going to want to, he's desperately going to want to shake that I'm the number two thing, so I think that's going to get tighter.
I can imagine there being a divide between those two.
I think there will eventually,
because you look at Charles, he has split up with his girlfriend. He's
full focus.
I think he's for him, and like I touched on earlier, and I know this sounds very strange when I say this, but yes, he's still young, but he is really running out of time to win this championship, because we've seen drivers over the years get a bit dominant, you know, have a good season, miss out, get P2, but they never recover from that. And I think for Charles, it is something that he is now going, okay, I've got to change here, because this was his best opportunity this year to win a championship. He didn't do it. He knows full well that actually Mercedes are going to come back next year. I'm expecting him to come back. Red Bull are going to get more dominant.
But Sainz is going to look at this the same way.
Yeah.
And he's going to think, look, people think I'm the number two. That is not the case. I'm, you know, this is also my chance.
Yeah. I don't think anyone ever expects Sainz to win a championship, but he probably expects
himself to.
Like I said, I think there's going to be more... It's going to be a bigger battle between them. And for Sir coming into that team now, he's got two big egos there who are going to be wanting to challenge next year. So he's got a real challenge on his hand.
And I think, you know, you look to Mercedes, as far as they're concerned, they solved their issues. So there's not going to be that testing, we need you to run these parts to try and fix this issue. It's just going to be full focus for both Lewis and George. Lewis is going to want to absolutely annihilate George next season. You know, I appreciate what Lewis says. You know, it makes no... I don't care if someone beats me for P5 or P4, whatever. I completely understand that. But there's absolutely no bone in Hamilton's body that is going to want it to be established that actually George is the faster driver now.
If they have a competitive car next year, which I'm expecting them to have... I, like you say, under no illusion that Lewis is going to be as friendly as he has been this year, and he will go for it, and you will see them battle. But I'm also expecting George to come out fighting next year. He's got his first race win. He's had his pole position this year. He is now integrated within that team, and you've got two phenomenal drivers there, and you give them a competitive car, I think they'll do well. But I'm also as a Mercedes fan, under no illusion that actually there could be a bit of a divide once it gets a bit challenging.
You look down to McLaren.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer going to be Lando Norris domination in theory. They've brought in a young driver to actually challenge him, to push him. It's not going to be it's not working out. You know, they've brought in a young, fresh driver who's going to be hungry, and he's going to want to show that he's worthy to be in that team. And he's not just replacing a number two driver. He's actually coming to be the future of the team.
Answer me this. If he comes in, right, and beats Lando in his first year,
that's very impressive.
Does that show that actually Lando isn't as good as what we think, or is that to show that actually this driver coming in is just
I think too it good? Shows that Piastri is
just too good.
Is actually living up to expectation.
Yeah.
People have got high hopes for Piastri.
Yeah.
Then down to Alpine. You know, you've got Gasly coming in, Ocon, they've got history. They don't like each other.
No.
So the story goes. So, you know, it's going to get feisty there. Gasly is going to be in a competitive car. Hopefully it's a bit more reliable this season as well. You move down, got Alonso, who somehow just manages to never lose his drive. He's going to be going up against Lance Stroll. I think we're going to see some... I think Seb was very chilled in this part of his career. I feel like Alonso is going to lose his head with Stroll.
I cannot wait to see... Because I guarantee you, Alonso won't be going, okay, you know, when he gets taken off a track by Lance Stroll, he'll be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, he'll be going mental.
And yeah, I cannot wait. I don't understand. If you're Alonso, you're going how bad, you know, Ocon is as a teammate, all of this stuff. You're going to Lance Stroll.
Lance Stroll
will
is
not
be
give
worse.
You any space, and he will take you off. He showed you in Texas. He took Alonso off, didn't he? Remember he crashed into...
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they were teammates then, but he knew, he still...
And then obviously we had Brazil where he just completely pushed Seb onto the grass so he can overtake him.
I think Alonso thinks he's going for a better team and a better teammate, but Alonso, mate, you're in for a treat next year.
AlphaTauri.
De Vries. Tsunoda. Tsunoda, for me, this year needs to prove himself. Otherwise, he deserves to lose his seat.
He just needs to step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I really like him. I hope.
I love him as a person. I think he's great. But I think for someone who was in a good car last year, because Gasly was putting in some solid performances in 2021.
Yeah.
Obviously, 2022, they've struggled. But Tsunoda...
Car wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but then he did stupid stuff like he did in Canada. Drives out the pit lane and goes straight into a wall.
Yeah.
You know, it's those type of errors he's got to eliminate, because as a driver, he's not a rookie anymore. He is, you know, he's going into his third season within F1.
Yeah, no, he's
and he's got to prove
rookie.
Himself this year. He's definitely got to prove himself this year. So for me, it's make or break this year for him.
Yeah. And then, you know, we move down again.
Haas.
These two boys have history as well.
Oh, God.
You know, suck my balls, mate. You know, I think we're going to see some really good rivalries within teams. And, you know, last
Williams.
But not least, the Williams. I think they'll be quite friendly, you know. Again, I think it's sad, but Williams is a stepping stone team now. It's not really worth them getting feisty with each other. Let's just prove that we can race and hopefully we'll get picked up.
I think by the end of this time next year, when we're talking, Alex Albon will be in a top half team.
Yeah.
Someone like, I could even see him in someone eventually like Alpine or McLaren. Or you might even end up in McLaren if Norris goes, for example.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much things, but I believe Albon deserves better in a bigger team. And I think he's capable.
Yeah,
he showed this year.
He deserves better than this Williams.
And he showed this year he is capable of doing it. If you asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have said different.
Oh, 100%.
He proved
me wrong.
I definitely said differently. But, you know, like on here, we all say if we're wrong, we're wrong. But I think he's shown that actually he's got true grit and desire to get the most out of that car and to get a point.
And he's a very capable driver. That's also what he's
very capable. But he's, you know, picked up points this year and yeah, fair play to him. So I'm hoping for a good year for him next year. But I think that is it. I think that's the end of 2022.
Or if you're watching this, it's actually the beginning of
2023.
But this is the last the 22 season.
And I'll be honest, I'm glad it's done because there was glimpses of pure class, but then it got boring towards the end.
Yeah, unless you're a Max Verstappen fan.
Then you're delighted.
You know, you're just winning.
But I'm excited for next year. Well, this year. And I think we're going to get some teams coming back into play, which for us, you know, what we want is we want like a three horse race. Yeah. We want different wins each week.
I don't want to go into a race knowing who's going to win. Yeah. Like for 80% of the races, I knew Max was going to win. Yeah. I don't want that. And I said it, I don't want that to be the case with Lewis Hamilton. No. I'd love for Lewis to win 80% of the races if it wasn't guaranteed that he was going to win all the races. Do you know what I mean? If we had a battle every single race, yeah, but someone comes out on top 80% of the time, that is absolutely fine. I just don't want to see someone run away with it and be like, oh, well, it's obvious they're going
to win. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. Guys, let us know what your thoughts for next year. We will be back in a new year. Well,
we'll be back on the 1st of
Feb. With our 2023 predictions. Mm-hmm. By that time, I will have my tattoo.
Yep. Latifi across the forehead.
Suck my balls.
Why would I do that?
No, I'm not saying. I know we're close, but not that close. But I should have my tattoo by then.
Yeah.
And then in March, we're back to it.
Yeah. When's the first race? It's like the 3rd or something?
The first race is very early in March. But yeah, we're back to it. So you haven't got long to wait, and we'll be back to weekly episodes.
And I'm going to Australia, and I'm going a week after the Grand Prix is there. Okay. Otherwise, if I was going a week before, I would have gone to the Melbourne Grand Prix.
Yeah, 3rd of March. 3rd of March. So testing is on 23rd to 25th of February. Bahrain is the 3rd of March. And then obviously we've got Saudi Arabia on the 17th
of
March.
When is Barcelona testing?
Barcelona testing is... I don't think... No, there isn't Barcelona testing.
Yeah, there is. There always is.
It's not on here.
Surely.
So in... Unless it is early February, but obviously they haven't shown it.
Well, it's because they don't actually show it on TV.
Obviously, we got Australia at the end of March, early April. And then, obviously, we lost China. So
one thing I will mention is I am actually away for a month. So there will be a month of no episodes.
Yeah, when you're away?
I go on like the 8th of April or something.
8th of April.
So I think we can
do... And when do you come back?
Or like the 10th of May or something.
Okay, so you'll miss whatever replaces China. You'll miss Azerbaijan. Mm-hmm. And you'll miss Miami.
Yeah.
So you will be back for Italy. Yeah, you'll be back for Monza. No, not Monza.
Imola. Yeah, Monza or Imola?
Monza, it would be Monza.
Okay. Well, there you go. You know, life happens.
Yeah. What do I do? Do I just sit here and wait?
Do it on your own.
No one will listen to it.
Everyone will.
Do I just sit here for a month and we'll just wait for you to come home?
Yeah. There's no point doing anything else.
What would you do if you came back and I'm still sat here?
Well, I'd be extremely worried about my security.
You walk in, you pick up the mic and we just crack on.
I'd get new locks and an alarm system.
Well, we're just talking shit now. Right, guys, as I said, I hope you have a good new year. We'll be back very soon. And yeah, take care. Bye-bye.